ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 17, texts 7 through 17. Aharastvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priya yagyashta paschata dhanam tesham bhedam vimangshunu. Even the food each person prefers is of three kinds, according to the three modes of material nature. The same is true of sacrifices, austerities, and charity. Now hear of the distinctions between them. Ayu sattva bala rogyo sukha priti vavardana rasya snigda stira hridya ahara sattvika priya. Foods dear to those in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart. Katvamla lavanat yushna tikshna uruksha bedahina ahara rajas yeshta nduko. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry, and burning are dear to those in a mode of passion. Such foods cause distress, misery, and disease. Yata yamam gota rasam puti paryushitam shayat uchistam apichamedhyam bhojanam tamasatriyam. Foods prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten. Food that is tasteless, decomposed and putrid, and food consisting of remnants and untouchable things is dear to those in the mode of darkness. Apa lakam shibir yagyo vidi dishto yajyate yastavyam eveti manaha samadhaya sasatvika. Of sacrifices, the sacrifice performed according to the directions of scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness. Avishandhaya tu palam dam bharataham api chayayat ijyate bharata shreshta tam yagyam nidirajasam. But the sacrifice is performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride or cheap bharata, you should know to be in the mode of passion. Vidhi hinam asrishtanam mantra hinam adakshinam shadha virahitam yamyam tamasam prichakshyate. Any sacrifice is performed without regard to the directions of scripture, without distribution of prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting the Vedic hymns and remuneration of the priests, and without faith, is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam sarvamarvam pramacharyam mahimsha cha shariram tapapuchyate. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. Anudvega karam baksham satyam priya hitam chayat svadhyaya vyasanam chayeva vannayam tapa uchite. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, and beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Mana prasada samyatvam mamam atma nidigraha bhava samshudir etyetat tapo manasam uchite. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control and purification of one's existence are austerities of the mind. Shadaya paraya taptam tapastatrividam narai apala kangshibir yuktai sattvikam parichakshite. This threefold austerity, performed with faith by men not expecting material benefits, but engaged only in the Supreme, is called austerity in So this entire material existence is going on in the influence of the three modes of nature. This is described in chapter 7. Tribhir gunamaya bhairai evi sarvabhijam jagat mohitam nalijanati mam evyata mohitam. The Lord by the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, the whole world does not know anyone but the modes of nature. So presently we are in the influence, the spellbinding influence of these modes of nature. And because of that, we are suffering in so many ways. Sometimes we're feeling, you know, kind of okay. Sometimes we're really passionately desiring material advancement. And sometimes we're just miserable as we can be. All the influence of the mode. All three of those positions are awkward at best. Even when we feel kind of okay, we don't really feel okay because we know it's only temporary. There's that gnawing anxiety even when things are going great, and knowing that something can happen to spoil all of this. Therefore, even when we're happy, we're not really happy, it's material. We're always unhappy. So the key is that we have to rise beyond the influence of these modes of nature. We have to come to that platform which is described by the word transcendental. On this platform, the transcendental platform, we become happy, truly happy. In fact, we taste the sweet nectar, which is indescribably delicious, actually. On the transcendental platform, the bliss is so wonderful that you can't even describe it. It's like if you've never tasted ice cream in your life. And I try to tell you what this ice cream is like. You see, well, I say it's very cold, and maybe it's like sucking on an ice cube. It's very sweet. Maybe there's some sugar on the ice cube. It's kind of like butter, it's soft and creamy. When you try to describe it, you really can't know what the ice cream is like unless you taste it. See, I'll give you a nice big bowl of ice cream with a spoon. Strawberry ice cream. Homemade. Organic strawberries. Is it organic cream? Fresh from the cow? Is it? Then you would get some experience what is ice cream. You taste it. So, Krishna consciousness, you can't really describe it to someone. I mean, you can try. You know. We try our best. I mean, that's what the Vedas are all about. to describe all his Krishna consciousness in such a way that you become encouraged to give it a try. Krishna actually says that all the Vedas are describing me. Vedaishta charvairaham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedavid eva jana. All the Vedas are actually pointing to me, Krishna. So, that experience of Krishna is actually the ultimate experience. Do you know that's why you exist? Did you ever find out why you existed? Because your mother and father wanted to have a baby? No way. You exist because Krishna wants to have rasa with you. He wants to have a loving relationship with you. That's why you exist. There's no other reason, actually. You don't exist for the, you know, to contribute to the gross national product of the United States of America. That's not why you exist. You don't exist, you know, to pay taxes here in Kansas City, to help, you know, buy the mayor his, you know, his second Rolls Royce or whatever, you know. That's not why you exist. You exist because Krishna is emanating you from himself for the purpose of enjoying a loving relationship with you. That's why you exist. So, if we simply can remember Krishna, then we will revive that lost relationship. We will get out of this miserable cycle of birth again. But if we continue to stubbornly forget Krishna, and why do we want to forget Krishna? Because we are thinking we are the stars of the show. I am thinking I am the star of the show. You are thinking you are the star of the show. And that everyone else is my supporting actor. If there is a Krishna, then he's one of my supporting actors. That's the problem. The fact is that Krishna is the star of the show, and we are all supporting actors. We are meant to participate in the ultimate movie of all time called Krishna Lila. It's not simply a movie, it's reality. The fact is that Krishna is engaging in nitya lila, his eternal pastimes, and we have a part to play in those pastimes if we went on strike. So Krishna has a special place for all those people who go on strike who don't want to participate voluntarily. All right. If you don't like plan A, I'll give you plan B. Birth has all age and Z. When you've had another one, you can come back to plan A, eternally knowledgeable. You don't want to be a part of my pastimes, I'm not going to force you. I'll give you some your own pastimes where you can thank your God in Kansas City. So many gods loitering in the streets. Yes, I am Mr. Ray. Everything revolves around me. In the offices, in the workplaces, on the bus, everyone thinking I'm God. Overtly or covertly. No one will admit it. Only a few Mayavadis will admit it that they think they're God. Everybody else is actually thinking they're God and will admit it openly. Because they think they're the center of the universe. So we're all contented with this idea of thinking I'm God. The fact is we are not God. We are servant of God. We artificially try to be God and we become enslaved by three types of ropes. Gunas. The Sanskrit word guna means mode, it also means rope. Sattva-gun, Raja-gun, Tama-gun. Sattva-rope, the Raja-rope, the Tama-rope. They tie us up very tightly. Hands and feet tightly bound. We can't go anywhere. We're just slaves of the material nature. So, if we can come out of this entanglement, come out of this quagmire of this material existence, then we will truly realize our nature as eternal spiritual beings, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God. way to get out of this entanglement is to come to our senses. That's really all we have to do, because we have this knowledge already there within us. You don't have to really impose anything on yourself. All you really have to do is come to your senses. Come out of the delusion, that's all. Come out of the delusion. So we need some guide how to do that. We can't do it on our own. We require someone or something to guide us. So there are three guides available for us. Guru, the spiritual master, is there to guide us out of our delusion. Guru, sadhus, the saintly devotees of the Lord, they are there to guide us out of the delusion. And shastra, the scripture. These three things. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. These are the three things that will take us out of the delusion. So we have to take advantage. When the spiritual master is present, we have to serve him with love. We have to inquire from him submissively, bow down at his feet. Spiritual master has the power to deliver us if we will take shelter of him. And the sadhus, they also have power. Just as the spiritual master has power, the sadhus also have power. This is why Narottam Das Thakur prayed. Anande bolo hadi vaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majaiya. He says ecstatically chant Hare Krishna mantra. Anande bolo hadi vaja vrindavan. Worship the holy land. And then he says, Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayama. And engage your mind in worshipping the lotus feet of Shri Guru and Shri Vaishnavas. So in this way, we can actually become deluded. And we will take advantage of this influence. Gita explains, Sangha Sanjayate Kama. One's consciousness will develop according to the company that one keeps. You know if you associate with materialistic people, what do you become? You become material. You associate with guru, with sadhus and shastra, you become spiritual out of it. So, we simply have to choose our association wisely. There's no spiritual association available. It's better to be alone and just read books. There's no spiritual association. But better is to read the books in the association of other devotees. That's the best thing. Because you have some realization, I have some realization. And there is synergy in that sangha, in that association of devotees. That we can increase our own comprehension very quickly just by being in the presence of other Vaishnavas. Our understanding, our awareness, our realization automatically is increased manyfold, just by being in the presence of the devotee. There is great power in the association of the devotee. So we take advantage of that association. It's like we see, I'm traveling all over the world now preaching this Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna Priya Devi Dasi, my wife, we travel all over the world preaching this Krishna consciousness movement. And we're seeing how all over the world there are pockets of people gathering together to study Prabhupada's books, to chant Hare Krishna, and to follow his teachings everywhere around the world, everywhere we go. Everywhere are people gathering together to do this. Because this material world, especially now, is simply hell. is hell. Simply a hellish place. But by taking shelter of Prabhupada and his wonderful movement, ISKCON, one can become so happy, so peaceful, so free from all anxiety, just by chanting Hare Krishna, reading Prabhupada's books, offering your food to Krishna before you eat, following simple principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating and no gambling. Just following some simple principles in the association of devotees and staying away from the world. Not a laughing man, no joking man. This will enable us to actually come out of the quagmire of this material existence. Prabhupada went on to say, don't laugh when talking seriously. There's some humor that we can laugh. The spiritual master is talking very seriously. It is not joke but laughter. The serious thing. This is why you hear diagnosed as having terminal cancer. Will you be laughing? No. So we have terminal cancer. This material body is a case of terminal cancer. So what are we doing? We have to know what is the cure, what is the treatment. Very serious thing. We can die at any minute. We should be very sober, thinking that I may die at any minute. Why should we be sober like that? To live this minute as if it were my last minute, because 1 minute it will be. There will be that minute when it will be your last minute. So use it, practice now how to become very, very sober in Krishna consciousness. We have our humor, but we don't laugh about the serious thing. We have ours, we can laugh better than anyone. Because we are free of anxiety by taking shelter of Krishna. When we're talking serious things, there's no laughter. It is very, very sober to understand how precarious is our position in this material world and how serious it is that we, it's a matter of life or death. So we can ask now if there's any questions. What time is the official end of the class? 8:15 or 8:20. Okay. So we have a few minutes for class, about 13 minutes for questions, if there's any questions. Be happy to try to answer them. Yes. Devotional service, if it is mixed with an enjoying mood, there is such a thing. It is called karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti. When one tries to mix sense enjoyment with devotional service, gross sense enjoyment would be karma mishra bhakti, and subtle sense enjoyment would be jnana mishra bhakti. You may get your sense enjoyment, subtle and gross, but she won't get Krishna. So what's the point? If you're going to do something, do it properly. If you want to go to some destination, I'll give you a map, and you follow the map halfway and get lost. What if you come? So Prabhupada has given us map, and spiritual master is showing the way how to achieve pure bhakti. So we think, well, this is a very nice map, but I think I'd like to add my own ideas to the program. I'm going to mix in my own agenda. You see, guess what? You won't get to the destination. You may move in the direction of the destination, but you won't achieve it. Until one is willing to lay aside all of one's gross and subtle desires for sense gratification and become very, very serious about complete total surrender at the lotus feet of the spiritual master in Krishna, you will remain entangled in karma chakra as a bhakti. So one must become very sober, completely surrender to the bona fide spiritual master, totally give up on independence. He is the representative of Krishna. He is the tax collector who takes your service, collects it and gives it to Krishna. So you must be very serious about complete surrender to your spiritual master. Whatever instruction he gives you, you must take as your life and soul. Not that you can argue with your spiritual master. Well, Gurudev. No. Complete surrender to spiritual master's instruction. That is the key, how to get rid of the tendencies for sense gratification, gross and so on.
I guess I'm talking about doing service, taking prasad, enjoying doing those things. Could that be considered subtle sense
gratification? No. Those activities are not. You simply have to learn how to do those activities in pure bhakti. Taking prasadam, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya, in the Kripashtaka. It's mentioned there. Spiritual master is pleased when he sees the devotees taking Bhagavad Prasadam. So how there could be contamination? It pleases the spiritual master. You may enjoy something, you may not enjoy it. That your enjoyment or non-enjoyment doesn't matter. You simply do what pleases the spiritual master. If you haven't enjoyed also, that's nothing. It's neither here nor there. Simply do everything to please your spiritual master. If you enjoy it, that's fine. If you don't enjoy it, that's fine too. It doesn't matter. You simply do everything to please you. And so, question then.
We are not happy when we see some devotee, even we are unhappy. So how to cure this? This is considered like offense if we see some devotee we are unhappy in this life.
What's he saying? If we see a devotee is unhappy,
if
you become unhappy by seeing others unhappy, that means you're properly situated in Krishna consciousness.
The question was other. Okay. Because sometimes we live in the temple with other devotees.
Living in the temple
with other devotees.
Yeah. And sometimes when we see some other devotee, we become unhappy.
You see another devotee, you become unhappy by seeing them. Why are you becoming unhappy?
You
don't have a good relationship with that devotee? You have some conflict going on with him?
Yeah, there's something. Yeah.
Actually,
yes.
Yes, well, one has to learn how not to take the association of devotees for granted. one has to always think there is nothing more fortunate than having association with the Lord. Sometimes living with the devotees, we may have some disagreements, some quarrels sometimes. We start thinking bad thoughts about the devotee. It's very dangerous for our spiritual life. We should always think there's no greater thing than to have the association of the devotee. I may agree with him about everything. I may not always agree with him on every point. It doesn't matter. Just imagine if you were lost on a desert island and you were there for 50 years and somehow the devotee showed up. That devotee you couldn't get along with in the ashram 50 years ago. And you saw him and there was somebody you could say Hare Krishna to and offer your obeisances. You'd be in bliss, even if the devotee you couldn't get along with. You see, so we always have to have that mood towards the devotees. Even if we have some conflict with them, we have to just be totally transparent to them. We can't hold any grudges against the devotees. So always be transparent as you live. You think, well, this devotee mistreated me. No, you shouldn't think that way. Should simply think that you're getting the reactions from your own past misdeeds. You can't blame anyone except yourself. You don't like the way things are going. It's your fault. It's your own past misdeeds are coming on you with them. You can't blame anybody. You have to blame yourself. And that's the secret. It's given in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Tate kampamsu samikshama no. Evatma kritam vabam. Evatma bhujana vipapa. Tadbhagvapavir vidadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. Any person who is constantly awaiting the Lord's causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering respectful obeisances to the Lord from the core of his heart, is certainly eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. That should always be your hope. Prabhupada says this is the guiding principle for all devotees. It's in the nectar devotion. It's called expecting the Lord's mercy. That should always be your hope in all circumstances. That let me suffer for all my past misdeeds. Let me always await the Lord's mercy and let me always offer my obeisances to Krishna and his devotees. In this way, you will become Daya Bhak. You will become the rightful claimant to the mercy of Krishna, the rightful claimant to liberation from the cycle of Vaikuntha. You can't ever blame any devotee. You simply have to see it as your own karma, your own past mysteries. You may say, well, I'm initiated, so I don't have any karma, but there's still token reactions. You're getting token reactions to your past mysteries. You have to see. And go on offering your baby to Krishna, and Krishna is representative of the body. It doesn't matter if you. That's, you have to, if you're feeling bad, it's your own lack of Krishna consciousness. You can't blame it on some other devotee. Simply your own lack of Krishna consciousness. So this is how you become Krishna conscious. You follow this verse. So we got 2 minutes. Any questions? You have some questions? There's no questions. I have an announcement. We'll end here. Матхи Джин, Шримад Бхагавад Гита, Ки Джай.